production.
From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics. I'm Rachel Withers, and today, playing us for mugs. Prime Minister Scott Morrison and his acolytes seem rather panicked by Labor leader Anthony Albanese's unexpected support for a 5.1% increase to the minimum wage, a figure in line with inflation. What should have been an uncontroversial comment yesterday sparked a political storm, according to the Nine Papers, while coalition figures from Jane Hume to Stuart Robert have since declared that this was an unprecedented intervention into the Fair Work Commission. The AFR's Phil Khoury, speaking on RN Breakfast, said that pegging wages to inflation, which no one has proposed, would be a one-way trip to a Weimar Republic, insisting that Labor had made a blunder here. But it was Morrison himself who launched the most deranged attacks, accusing Albanese of being a, quote, loose unit on the economy, and asserting that such an intervention would send inflation and interest rates spiralling, an argument that has been debunked by economists today. We all want to see wages go up, Morrison said, while insisting that the $1 an hour increase Albanese was backing would all but destroy the economy. He's playing you for a mug, added the man trying to tell workers who can hardly afford food that cost of living pressures would be worse for them if they got a pay rise. Unsurprisingly, it is the coalition that is playing voters for mugs. It's bizarre watching the coalition argue against a fair wage increase in the middle of an election campaign so focused on cost of living. As Shadow Industrial Relations Minister Tony Burke told News Breakfast, the extraordinary thing about this story is not that Labor wants to make sure that wages keep pace with cost of living. The extraordinary thing about this story is that Scott Morrison doesn't. Meanjin editor Jonathan Green quipped that today's killer line from the government was, "Wages will always be lower under a coalition government." But more than bizarre, it's infuriating to watch Morrison and co. try to justify their opposition to an inflation level increase by convincing struggling workers that they will actually be worse off with more money in their pockets. It's a galling strategy, but one that might just work with commentators like Phil Khoury invoking the Weimar Republic. It's also deeply unfair to even make this link, as Centre for Future Work director Jim Stanford has pointed out, as he told The Guardian, telling workers they need to just swallow a permanent reduction in earnings as a result of inflation they didn't cause in order to prevent future inflation is neither fair nor economically justified. Meanwhile, Morrison's insistence that publicly backing this increase would be economy-destroying doesn't particularly gel with his other recent comments, in which he argued that Albanese didn't have a magic pen when it came to lifting wages. Once again, it seems the government only has control of the economy when it suits Morrison to say so. What's more, the coalition's assertion that Albanese's support for this increase, which he hasn't committed to making formal, represents an unprecedented intervention into the wage umpire's process is simply false. Guardian Australia fact-checked this today, showing that many previous governments, including John Howard's, have put a specific number on their submissions. And as some have noted, this government made a submission to last year's annual wage review, telling the Fair Work Commission to take a cautious approach to increasing wages. Then, of course, there's the obvious fallacy in the coalition claiming that the government shouldn't intervene at all in the independent wage-setting process while jumping up and down and declaring that a particular number will melt the economy. Editor of The Monthly, Nick Fike, neatly summed up the coalition's contradictory stance on wage rises on Twitter today. As he tweeted, "They're good, but actually a threat to stability and living standards. Liberals support them, but legislate for the opposite. Liberals want them, but not when Labor proposed them. Liberals control wages, but Labor don't. Actually, the independent umpire does. Obviously, the Liberal government will be responsible when you get more pay, but can't help if you get less. That'll be Labor's fault, especially if they're trying to raise wages, which they can't. But when they do, it'll be a disaster. Got it?" In fact, today's ludicrous argument is essentially the coalition's entire economic fallacy distilled. Helping people will hurt the economy. The coalition and its media supporters have spent the day, but also the entire campaign, but also the past decade, arguing that Labor doesn't understand the economy, and that those who might be pleased by Albanese's latest announcement are simpletons. But the absolute stupidity of today's arguments against an increase to the minimum wage should blow the lid off this myth. Albanese apparently sparked a political storm yesterday by suggesting that Australians already earning the minimum don't deserve to have lives that get harder and harder until they die. Let's hope that a storm really has been sparked here, with Australians reconsidering which side is really playing them for a mug. Elsewhere in politics, we're starting with our good opinion of the day. President of the Australian Professional Association for Trans Health, Dr. Fiona Bishop, has called out the Coalition's misleading statements about transgender health, labelling the Prime Minister's latest comments absolute nonsense. As she told RN Breakfast, every trans child deserves to be treated with dignity and respect, and politicians need to stop using them as political footballs. And in today's bad opinion, Aged Care Services Minister Richard Colbeck is optimistic that he will continue to work on aged care reforms at his usual glacial pace after the election. I'm really looking forward to continuing to maintain the momentum and developing a really world-class aged care system for Australians, he said. Talking numbers, and the two major parties have promised more than $550 million combined to sporting clubs in the lead-up to the election, with $40 million of that going to clubs that already benefited from the Coalition's sports rorts. And in today's policy, Commonwealth agencies have quietly released a crucial Great Barrier Reef report after facing criticism for attempting to delay it until after the election. The report reveals that 91% of reefs surveyed showed coral bleaching in 2022. And in today's episode of 7am, when Australia heads to the polls in less than 2 weeks, one in five Indigenous people who are eligible to vote won't be enrolled and therefore won't be able to cast a ballot. Today, producer for 7am, Ruby Schwartz, travels to remote Australia to find out why some people are more enrolled than others. Listen to 7am now on the Listener app. And that is the politics for Wednesday, May 11. Subscribe to the politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop. And head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to the politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. I'm Rachel Withers, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.